Hey everybody, Jim Edwards here, and welcome back to the Sales Copywriting and Content Marketing Hacks Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Edwards, along with my co-host and podcast, Stu Smith. And
hello.
Wow, I feel sound like I'm making a political speech. So today we want to welcome you to episode 83. Stu is over there putting chapstick on. I guess he's getting ready to do some serious talking.
I'm ready.
We are going to be talking about, are you marketing your market correctly? I have no idea what that topic's all about. So please, Stu, enlighten us. What are we talking about today?
Yes. Well, this is part three of a series, your online business starter kit, right? Remember, podcast 80 was a number one, podcast 82, no, 82.
81, 82. This is number three.
Yeah, this is the third one. So anyway, we are talking about what you need to have an online business. Where do you need to invest? How about that? In yourself and your products and your outsourcing and all of that to have an online business. If you want to take your current business online. Okay. So anyway, today is about market. And you know, are you marketing your market correctly, especially when you're online? Now, it doesn't have to be online. You could be a local option as well, but are you marketing your market correctly? So we're going to ask ourselves a couple of questions.
So what you're saying is that, like, if you're a veterinarian, an antique store, a massage parlor, a bar, a restaurant, dry cleaner, you could, these are just as important as if you're selling ebooks, courses, coaching, online training, any of that stuff.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. You got to ask yourself, are you marketing your market correctly? Or is your potential customer, you know, your market, where you think they are?
Okay. Awesome. Right. So just talking about, you know, your potential market and stuff, I just throwing this up on the screen. If you're listening to this and can't see this, basically I have a Venn diagram showing what your niche market, your perfect niche market would be for you to be an authentic expert or an authentic value provider, might be another way of looking at it. If you'd like to see this amazing graphic, then you need to go to our Facebook group and join the group so that you'll be able to see this. Or if we have the video version up on YouTube, you can watch it there.
Yep. So, podcast 83, you'll be able to find it.
I think the biggest thing to understand, if you're going and just to get the discussion started, is to market to your market correctly is not only do you need to know where they are, but you got to know what's making them tick, what motivates them, what actually gets them to take action. Is it, and this goes back to the stuff that we talk about inside of Copywriting Secrets on page 16. Which is the reasons why people buy: to make money, save time, avoid effort, escape mental or physical pain, get more comfort, achieve greater cleanliness or hygiene, to attain better health, gain praise, feel more love, increase their popularity or social status. I did all that on one breath, by the way.
Nice.
But that's part of it. So you got to know where they are, but you got to know what they want.
And who they are.
Okay, what do you mean in who they are?
You just got to know who they are, right? You got to know, like, I am not assuming everybody wants one of my Navy SEAL books.
Okay.
You know, there is a group of people that want to work out in that method. Maybe they want to serve in that capacity. Maybe they just want some hard workouts that don't require a whole lot of equipment. Right. So there is a market there that has a little bit more of a bigger window than just the 19-year-old kid that wants to go to SEAL training. Right.
So what you're saying is who they are is a group of people that want the same result that you know how to produce and can prove that you can produce those results.
Yes.
Ultimately, that's it. I mean, that's a niche market. And so if you're a dry cleaner, then the people who you want are the people who want freshly pressed shirts with just the right amount of starch and they don't want somebody to burn holes in their clothes or lose their clothes or any of that other stuff. I mean, it all starts with, you're absolutely right, it starts with the who and what result or results do they want. And once you know that, then what you do is you look around and say, okay, where are these people? So if it's online, it's actually easier online than anywhere else. I can't imagine trying to start an offline business. What a pain in the ass that would be and how risky that is.
So like, hard. But you'd still do online marketing.
Right.
To get to people. Right.
But if you're geographically based, like you've been to my house, you drove through Matthews, you got it. If you blink, you're done. I mean, it's two blocks long. We got a Hardee's. We got a Mexican restaurant, which is excellent, by the way.
Yeah.
We got a Food Lion. We got a strip mall Chinese food place, but there's no strip mall. They're just like right next to the Food Lion. There's nothing else. It's like the world's smallest strip mall. It's Food Lion and the Chinese place. That's it. And we got another restaurant that I don't really like, but everybody else likes. And then we got a little deli. So we got these little stores that are, there's like an antique place. There's a guy, there's a chiropractor who shows up once a week. There, no, seriously, his office hours are Thursday. He's there Thursday. That's it. But you think about that. Those people could still be killing it if they had an online business component. The little assignment store, an assignment store is, right? The little, I didn't know until Terry told me the other day. I was like, what is that?
Consignment?
Consignment. That's what it is. Consignment. Yeah. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, dude. But a consignment store, they could be crushing it.
Oh,
if
sure.
if they were listing stuff on eBay,
absolutely.
They had a list of people that were following them because they were doing cool updates and other things. And then they said, hey, look at new arrivals. And they could even have their own little, they could sell the stuff on their own site and not have to pay the eBay fees and other things. It's but it comes down to knowing who your audience is and what they want. What are their problems? What are their questions? What are their roadblocks? What are their desires? What are the payoffs that they want? All of these things. What interests them? What do they like reading about? What are the things that that turn them on? Did you know that the majority of Americans now statistically get their news? Where do you think they get their news from? What they consider news.
Don't tell me social media.
Facebook.
Ugh.
The majority of people in this country get their primary news source, news gathering source is Facebook.
Mm.
I don't know what the percentage is. I don't know the exact statistics. And I'm sure it's been twisted around some kind of way that like three people did it, but somehow it became the majority of Americans. But that's good news for us because we can create our own news. That's
sure.
really what we do as content marketers is we create our own news. Stu writes how many articles a week? Three?
At least.
Okay. I create news when I do the Jim Edwards method, or not the Jim Edwards. Well, when I do the Jim Edwards method, it's just paid news. But when I do the Letting the Chickens Out with Jim, which Nancy's pissed at me because I have only done one in the last week. And she's like, you know, your engagement's dropping and you really, yes, honey. Okay. But I've been a little busy. So the point though, is that we create our own news. That's if you think about it.
Oh, sure.
And so what news do people that are interested in what you're teaching, what news do they want? And if you look at the news now, the vast majority of the news is all opinion. Because we're in a 24-hour news cycle now, most news shows are opinions of people about events and people and what were they thinking and what did this mean and what's happening. So guess what? There's an old saying, opinions are like blank. There's a formula for you. Opinions are like blank. Everybody's got one. And they all stink. So the point is that you have an opinion. Go start using your opinion to get people to follow you and use it to build your business. And the best people to follow you are the people who are in your native niche market.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, when you are, once again, I highly recommend the Jim Edwards Method Wizard, the avatar, finding out your avatar, because that really does help you better understand who that person is in your niche market. Almost makes it a single person, you know, that, that you can focus your creative, you know, writing for. But the thing is, if you have a younger audience, like if you try to go after, you know, kids in their teens or early 20s, you have to really stay on top of how they communicate. Because I would say in the last 10 years, those guys have gone from ditching Facebook to going into Instagram to going into Snapchat to going into TikTok. You know, they're all over the place and they change every couple of years as a majority of their, the way where they are, you know, where they're hanging out to, you know, see, you know, YouTube too is still up there as well. But, you know, you just have to be aware of where that age group audience is. So I tend to focus on my younger crowd with Instagram posts and videos and information. And then my older crowd, I tend to go towards the Facebook side, you know, the
Facebooks.
40, yeah. 40 and over crowd. And then of course, you know, I post articles on both and, you know, so it's a way to add that content to those, two groups that make a majority of my online store. You know, I mean, most of my online store traffic comes from those two social media groups.
Right. But you also use third party sites, specifically military.com, to give yourself credibility on those other sites. That's part of the game too, is by being seen on these different places, people will look for you on social media and then they can come into your fold and eventually they can make it over onto your email list. But the big thing to understand with that is that all of these are people that want some sort of a result that you know how to help them produce. But you're talking about things that are important to them. You really understand the who. And since you understand the who, you can go find the where they are. If you didn't know exactly who they were, you would not be able to go find them. It would all be just shots in the dark instead of being able to do this with laser precision. And you brought something up that I'm going to share, talking about the avatar profile that we help people create in the Jim Edwards Method Premium on the Easy Online Wizards. This is a really cool piece of software that helps you to analyze your avatar, your ideal customer, down in a way that is just absolutely spot on. And then Stu loves to take these and use them as the stuff that I don't consider sales copy. Stu's like, man, this is great copy, man. This is great content. I'm like, how did you do this? But like, here's an example. I'm going to read this. It'll take like 2 minutes and I'm going to do this as a story. Okay. My avatar's name is Fred. Fred is a struggling part-time writer who dreams of becoming a New York Times bestselling author. Currently, Fred's focus is on ebook promotion and content marketing. Ultimately, Fred really wants to stop working for a boss and write full time. Right this minute, Fred would be ecstatic if he could make more book sales, get more newsletter subscribers, and stop spending so much on ads and start making money selling his books. Unfortunately, Fred still needs to figure out how to get more exposure without going broke buying ads, stand out from the crowd of all the other authors in his same niche, and make more than just a couple of bucks off each book sale. Fred's also really frustrated by the fact that Amazon's super crowded with competing authors, Facebook and social media feel like yelling into an abandoned building, and none of the experts agree on exactly what you should do to sell more books. Plus, he still feels he needs to get the answers to these questions before he can move forward. How do I build a real business around my book? How do I turn my book from a hobby that cost me money into a full-time stream of income? How do I use social media to help me sell more books? Fred's also hung up on the idea that selling is sleazy and manipulative. I'm an author, not a salesperson, and book selling is actually the publisher's job, not the author's job. In fact, he feels like traditional publishers actually don't want him to succeed with ebook promotion or content marketing. When all is said and done, Fred just wants to live the dream lifestyle of a successful author, make a difference and an impact on the world, and do something he loves and make money doing it. To help Fred, I would invite him to check out my software, Author Wizards, at authorwizards.com, so he can experience true freedom as an author doing what he loves without having to write a new book every week. And I promise to show him how to enjoy rockstar author status, sell truckloads of books, and build a rabid tribe of followers and fans in as little as 15 minutes a day. Now, that right there, that is called knowing your ideal customer, because now I have literally a lifetime supply of news and content that I can create for Fred to build my own attractive character, where he's going to see me as the answer to his prayers. When I start drawing from my experience, my knowledge, things that have happened, mistakes I've made, all these different things, I answer his questions. And the thing is, especially in the online world, the answer to these questions changes and changes really fast. How do I build a real business around my book? The way we answer that question now is completely different than how we would have answered the question 20 years ago.
Sure.
It's just not, I mean, and it's completely different than how we would have answered it 5 years ago. And it is significantly different than how we would have answered it a year ago. Because one of the things building a business around your book would be to go get on everybody's stage and go speak everywhere you can and become a speaker and go to all these conferences. Well, guess what? Ain't nobody doing conferences now. So you got to learn how to sell from the virtual stage, how to create your platform, all these different things that we now, when we know this, we never run out of stuff to be able to market correctly. Plus, we can go find where people are dealing with these issues online so that we can put our message in front of them. So knowing your avatar, when you ask me, I say, hey, who's your avatar? And I love when I get an answer like, oh, it's speakers and coaches and professional women. Mm. Oh, okay. And they think because they're focused on like the fact that it's women or it's people over 55 or it's baby boomers. It's like, yeah, I've really drilled in. I've got it. I know who they are. No, you don't.
Or everybody needs this product.
Everybody needs this. Woohoo!
That's
great.
That's a big one.
That's awesome. And that's something that is going to just bite your butt if you try and sell to everybody. You've got to know, it's the difference between demographics and psychographics. What works online, yes, there is some demographics. If you know, okay, people over 55 are the ones who buy from me, great. That's one little box that you tick in your ad setup. But if you don't know the psychographics of all those people over 55, you're throwing darts at it. It's like throwing darts at a stock chart in the newspaper. Remember in the newspaper, they used to list all the stocks. Remember that? The stocks page was like two pages. And you could throw darts at it and probably pick just as good a winner as you could any other kind of way. You're doing the exact same thing. You've got to know them. If you want to market your market correctly, you've got to know exactly who they are. And once you know who they are, then you figure out where they are and start putting your message in front of them. If you do it any other way, you're just spending your child's college fund on beer and hookers. And that's just not a smart investment.
I would agree with that. I also did a avatar, but I named him Freddy, not Fred.
Freddy?
Yeah. In fact, I wrote an article about my avatar.
I know you did. And how did that do for you?
Very well. In fact, you want to see it?
I would love to see it.
I can share.
Please do. Yeah. So I remember when you did that and I was like, dang it, Stu, stop turning this stuff into copy and stuff. It's just not, that's not it.
Yeah. So I did the same thing as you did. Just answered the questions in the wizard and came up with this cool little graphic. This is the stages of a SEAL training pipeline. You got Freddy the Frog here. That means you're a frog man, but you start off as boot camp, as larva, little tadpole, turn into a little frog, and then now you're a frog man. So it's just a funny picture. So anyway, I did the same thing, you know, like
what is
Freddy.
He holding? What is he holding? A stick of dynamite? A stick of
dynamite and has a cigar in his mouth.
Okay.
So he's just rugged old frog man. So that's old school. That's like UDT level, you know, art back there. But anyway, I did the same thing. I wrote, you know, all the Spec Ops candidates out there read about Freddy. Posted some old high school football pics, you know, talking about.
Which one are you? What number are you?
This guy here, number 50.
Were you tight end?
No, this, I was a guard.
Okay.
This is on offense, but,
okay.
I played guard every now and then, but I was mainly a linebacker. But anyway, so I get him, you know, young high school kid wanting to go to SEAL training, and he is Freddy, and he's going, wanting to do all these challenging things, and he's not really preparing himself, but it reads the same way as what Jim just read, you know, even comes out with these, you know, these questions, you know, how can I become a better swimmer or runner? Click here.
Oh, look at you answering the questions with click here for more information stuff.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So, you know, how can I prevent injuries and deal with aches and pains so they don't stop me or waste more time? Click here. Right. And then, you know, just, and then after that, it's, you know, I teach them a little bit about, you know, some of the programs that are out there to help them. And yeah, there you go.
There you go. Hey, is it weird if you walk around your neighborhood with night vision and try and sneak around so nobody ever finds you?
Well, in your neighborhood, no.
Yeah, okay.
My neighborhood, it'd be a little weird.
Okay, just
because night vision wouldn't work in my neighborhood because all the bright
streetlights. You got enough lights going on.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, just curious. Just random questions.
Do you have any infrared?
I do.
That's fun.
Yeah,
you can see all kinds of critters out there.
I can get the mount so that I could have the white. I got the white phosphorus, not the green. The white phosphorus is awesome. And then I was thinking on the other eye, I might get the thermal. Mm-hmm. The difference though is the magnification is different, and I'm worried that I might fall and hurt myself.
Yeah, but you lose some depth perception for sure.
Yeah, well, I don't have that anyway.
All right.
Okay,
so
how do we wrap this up?
We're marketing our market. And then the big thing is I want you to just ask the question, are you marketing your market correctly? All right. And then think about all the little things that we have discussed, you know, Jim's graphic back there. And, you know, are you taking these into account? And then think about where your market is. You know, where are they now? Are they Sunday morning Facebook users? A lot of people use Facebook. They catch up on Facebook on Sunday morning. They don't watch it the rest of the week. Yeah. Some people do it every day, you know, so you just have to find out where that market is. You know, are they on Facebook? Are they on another social media platform? You know, and then there, you can put ads on those social media platforms if you prefer, but I prefer just putting in good content so it is shared, you know, throughout the network of your market.
I do both.
Yeah, I do both too. I see some of yours now. I like it. Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, I wrap it up, Stu. Bring us home, buddy.
Yeah. So anyway, this is part three of the Online Business Starter Kit, knowing your market. And, you know, Jim did a really good job explaining kind of like the parts of your market that all go together. You know, what makes your market, what makes your niche market. And you just have to simply ask, am I marketing my market correctly? Right. And if you think there's any gray area in there that maybe you could market it better, you know, ask a question, you know, say, Hey, this is my market. Where are they? Where do you think they are?
Right.
You know, might be newspaper ads, might be another form of media.
Or just better ads than what you're doing now. Once you understand your avatar, Vicky in the live audience just said, I'm going to revisit my avatar. And I gave her a thumbs up for that. I didn't give her the huggy, creepy thing, but I gave her a thumbs up.
That's cool.
I don't think it's appropriate for a man to give the huggy thing to a lady he's not married to. I think that's wrong.
That's a good point.
So I don't think it's appropriate.
Oh, by the way, nice haircut.
Thank you. Yeah, I got them all cut. So my wife said, the hair in your nose on your ears is longer than the hair on your head. I said, wow, thanks, honey. That's quite the compliment.
Hey.
What was I saying? I forget. Anyway. Oh. Once you know your avatar really well, that's going to massively improve your ability to market correctly, no matter what type of marketing you're doing, because you can really hone in. Mm. Because going back to the start of this whole thing, ultimately, when someone gives us money, they're giving us money because they believe we help them achieve a result that they want to achieve. I'm trying to think of any exception to the rule. I mean, even somebody who gives money in church is giving money because they believe the result is that it helps. They want to help the church to keep the doors open. They want to, you know, do what they're supposed to do if they believe in the 10% tithing thing, just all that stuff. It always comes back to when there's a value exchange because the person believes that they're going to get some sort of a result. And if you really analyze, okay, if that's true, what is the result that I'm actually selling? Is it, it could be an emotional result. I mean, it's got, everything's got an emotional component to it, but what is the result? I mean, I'm selling a clean shirt with hassle-free delivery and next day service with a smile and, you know what, that's one result, but then how can you stack additional results and benefits and make it even more amazing? But you have to start with that kernel of the result and then build from there. And I think people get lost when they start throwing in all kinds of other stuff. It's like, what is the core result that people are getting from you before you start getting all fancy and ninja with it? And I think I need to think on this. You can tell from looking at me like this, my wheels are spinning with that thought.
Yeah, we can address that definitely on another, you know, related podcast. I would say this, you know, we provide a path. We provide programming, right, for whatever that goal is. And the purchaser, the customer, has to provide the work. Right? I mean, because you can't just buy this and then everything works out for you. I mean, there's a level of work that is expected of you when you do it, but we might have created a nice path for you that you don't go through the same hiccups as someone who's doing it without a path.
Sure.
Right? So, I mean, that is kind of where I focus my, some of my marketing on. In fact, I got a neat idea. I'm probably going to post something today on it. But I'm going to make this blanket statement, right?
About
about what we do. Okay. Is if you go to that avatar wizard, fill that thing out, but fill it out and then write an article about it and apply your journey to that avatar a little bit, because not everybody has the same journey as their avatar, but most of us do. Most of us are selling in a market that we have a lot of experience in, and we've had some lessons learned along the way. And if you can do that, one, it makes for really good content, but two, you'll find that you can really take that story and understand your market even better. You know, because you understand those needs of that person because you were that person.
You just gave me an idea. I don't know what this, but I just wrote down the idea. Combine Avatar Wizard with the Epiphany Bridge or Origin Story Wizard.
Yes. There you go.
So it's like, exactly. Figure, if you could do that, that's worth just playing with on the beach one day, just thinking through what kind of result would that produce? Gordon made a good comment in here. He said, start with the result and work backwards. That is absolutely one way of doing that. Yeah. You can, when we look at this graphic, the perfect niche, the result, the value exchange right there in the middle, you can start with that, and then you can define, okay, who's the group of people who wants the same result? What experience do I have that proves that I know how to produce this result? And what knowledge and skills and training justify me doing this? So you can start with the result and work backwards. When we did the training, I started, you know, I went clockwise from knowledge and ended up in the middle where we had the perfect value exchange, the result. But you can start with the result and fill in the rest. It's like a puzzle. You don't have to do a puzzle with, you don't have to start with piece one and go to piece 500. You can start with piece 399. And as long as the whole puzzle gets put together, it doesn't matter where you start. Because you know, but it'll help you when you got one starting point, then you can kind of fill in the rest and find the parts that you need.
Yeah.
So that's a great point. Okay. Jason said, when are you creating that wizard, Jim? I have no idea. I'm going to think on it.
The two together. What I would do is go to the Avadar, go through it, go through the Epiphany Bridge or the Hero's Journey wizard, go through it, and then just combine the two. And you may see they fit really well together.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I'll do is I'll fill them out and then I'll look and see kind of how they fit together and then what a combination wizard would look like. Result do you get and stuff?
Yeah, see if you can put your avatar wizard into the hero's journey. You know, all your responses.
That sounds amazing, Stu. I can't wait.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we've beaten this horse to death.
I think
I got another meeting coming up. But this was fun. And hopefully you guys enjoyed this. If you did, please let us know in the Q&A, in the questions, in the comments and stuff. If you enjoy this, we have going to have a surprise for you next week. Stu's been working on, we're going to reveal, don't tell him what it is, Stu, but it's kind of a premiere.
Oh yeah.
You didn't even remember what the hell I was talking about.
I did not. Now I just remembered. I was like, what the hell am I supposed
to do? Yeah. Oh yeah. I better go check my account.
Hopefully I'll have that up sooner than later.
All right, cool.
This week.
All right. Well, that's all we got. I got to run. Enjoyed having you all. Please do like, share, tag some people that are in the group. I think we're up almost to like.
You got to be close to 19, right?
Right now we have 18,984 members in the group.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool. I remember when the group had under 1,000. So
it wasn't long ago.
Yeah, that is cool. All right. Well, everybody have a wonderful day, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye, everybody.